Self-determination is thought of as a great American distinctive. We're free to pursue our dreams wherever they may lead. But believers' dreams must pass through God's hands. Jesus faced untold agony in a place called Gethsemane. Knowing what awaited him and praying until blood drops hit the ground, he finally said to his Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series of portraits of Christ he's calling Come and See Jesus. Join us now in Matthew chapter 26 as we come and see his agony and take home some life-changing lessons from Christ's darkest hour.
What are some of the lessons that we learn, the take-home value of all this for ourselves? First of all, some of our most earnest prayers go unanswered. Some of our most earnest prayers go unanswered. You know, here is Jesus, the Son of God, praying in agony. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Father heard the Son pray. But there is no way out. And so Jesus has to endure the cross. Now, I need to say that I believe that all of Jesus Christ's prayers were answered. That's not true of us, but all of his were. You say, well, God didn't answer him here. Yes, he did, because you'll notice Jesus didn't pray, "Father, get me out of this and take me straight to heaven." I believe that if Jesus had prayed that, that's what the Father would have done and said, well, then the whole human race, they will all go to hell. Come up and be with me. But Jesus didn't pray that. Jesus knew that his desire might be that he might find another way. But at the end of the day, he says, "I yield my will to you. And if I yield my will to you tonight, I will yield my body to you tomorrow, because the body is going to follow the will. And tonight, here in Gethsemane, thy will be done," said Jesus. But we don't get all of our desires when we pray, do we? Some of you have agonized before God regarding healings, regarding circumstances, and sometimes all that we can do is to go with Jesus and say, "Father, this is my desire, but at the end of the day, thy will be done." And you need to pray not because you get your desire, but you need to pray so that you get the strength to accept whatever it is that God gives you. Ivan, in a Russian concentration camp, is a Christian, and he is praying to his God with his eyes closed, and another prisoner, making fun of him, says to him in ridicule, "Ivan, praying is not going to get you out of this place any sooner." And Ivan says, "I'm not praying to get out of this place. I'm praying for strength to do the will of God." And sometimes we pray for strength to do the will of God, and it is not our desire, because we have other desires, which may even be good desires, but at the end of the day, we say, "Thy will be done," even at great personal cost. Second, our cups, this is critically important, our cups must be accepted from the hand of the Father, not from the hand of people. Let me say that again. Our cups must be accepted as from the hand of God, not from the hand of people, no matter what their intention is. You know, Jesus in John 18, verse 11, he did not say, "Now the cup which the Sanhedrin are preparing for me, must I not drink it?" He didn't say, "Now the cup which the Jewish leaders are preparing for me, or the cup that Pilate has in mind for me, shall I not drink it? Or the cup that the Roman soldiers are preparing for me, shall I not drink it?" No. All of that was part of the cup. But he says, "The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So you look at the dilemma that you are in today. You look at the human conflict. You look at the agony, and what you will discover is that at the end of the day, you must receive the cup as from God. Sometimes people send me poems. I receive a lot more than I ever use. Some poems have poor theology, some have good theology, and some have outstanding theology. This is one of those with some outstanding theology. Listen to this. I will not take that bitter thrust which rent my heart today as coming from an earthly soul, though it was meant that way. But I will look beyond the tool because my life is planned. I take the cup my Father gives. I take it from His hand. He knows and even thus allows these little things that irk. I trust His wisdom and His love. Let patience have her work. Though human means have brought the sting, I firmly take this stand. My loving Father holds the cup. I take it from His hand. Now those who watch may wonder why these things do not disturb. I look right past the instrument and see my Lord superb. Isn't that great? The trial which would lay me low must pass through His command. He holds the outstretched cup to me. I take it from His hand. The cup which your Father has given you. Shall you not drink it? Don't ever look at the cup as coming from a friend who has wronged you. Don't ever look at a cup as a human issue which makes you bitter and angry, because the cup has come from the Father to do something in your life that no good time could ever possibly do. The cup comes to you from your Father. It was William Barclay who says, "The love of God wants what is best for us. The wisdom of God knows what is best, and the power of God has the ability to accomplish it." Can you receive the cup from the hand of your loving, loving Heavenly Father? There's a final lesson, and it's the obvious one. Folks, guess what? It's not about us. It's not about whether or not we get money, whether or not we're promoted, whether or not we're appreciated, whether or not we get what we think we need and what we want and marry the person that we believe should understand. It's ultimately not about us. It's about the Father. It's about the will of God. It's about that cup that the Father gives us, and He gives different cups to different people, and we drink it as from His hand. And at the end of the day, the issue is not my will, but thine. That's the issue. It's always the issue. You know that I love the words of this song, and I quoted it once and said that I'd love to have the words, and I always forget that we're also on radio, so I received all of these folks sending me the song. So you folks out there, God bless you, but I have the words now. My Jesus, as Thou wilt, oh, may Thy will be mine. Into Thy hand of love I will my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as Thine own, and help me still to say, my Lord, Thy will be done. Not my will, not my will, but Thine be done. Let's pray. Father, in our rebellion, in our hardness of heart, in our desire to get what we want and to explain to You why You should give it to us, We ask today that you might give us a sense of submission. There are many people listening, drinking some very, very bitter cups. We pray, O Father, that they shall accept them as from your hand and drink them for your glory. We ask today, Father, that you might help all of us to see that your grace that was shown to us in Gethsemane and Calvary and your agony is also our pattern at times. And may we have the same determination to do your will and to drink the cup that you've given us. Grant that, O God, we pray. And now, before I close this prayer, what is there in your life that clearly is under your authority and not God's? What is it that you need to give to him to say, today, I receive this cup from your hand? Oh, Father, we know that the work that you desire to do in us cannot be done in a moment. It can begin now, but it must be completed later. Work mightily in your children. Give us unrest until, Father, we kneel with Jesus in Gethsemane and say, thy will be done. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.
My friend, today, what a difference it makes if we receive the bitter cups that we have in life. What a difference it is when we receive them from the hand of God rather than from the hand of fate or even the hand of the devil. Yes, my friend, when we begin to see God behind those bitter cups, we then say with Jesus, not my will but thine be done, because we realize that our Father has a higher purpose, perhaps a mysterious purpose, perhaps a purpose that we will not understand until we see you face to face. But we are content because we believe that it has been given to us of God. I think, for example, of the great theologian Calvin, who was afflicted with many physical diseases, and then he said this. He said, oh, I am greatly afflicted, but Lord, it is from thy hand. Therefore, I am content. I hope that your conception of God today is great enough to see God even in the bitter cups. Jesus could, and I believe that he invites us to have the same perspective. And so we conclude this message today with a prayer that God may use it to stimulate our faith and to keep on believing, no matter how tough life becomes. God is there for us in our need.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded Come and See His Agony, the 7th of 8 Portraits of Christ in his series Come and See Jesus. Tomorrow, join us as we joyfully come and see his empty tomb. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Our 8-part series on Come and See Jesus can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.